Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's the weekend. It's Blue White. In fact, you got Luke Bryan here tonight. You got Bruce Springsteen here Monday night. You got the Blue White game tomorrow here. And you need to stock up. That means Brewers Outlet. What am I about? 2.5 weeks before the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. I can tell you right now, I'm stopping by Brewers Outlet to stock up myself. Now, you need to stock up now and for the weekend. It's going to be gorgeous. 70 tomorrow. 74 on Sunday. 74 on Monday. Brewers Outlet. All right? You got to go there. Best, I mean, you want the best selection of beer? I don't care whether you want an import, domestic, a microbrew. They have the best selection anywhere. Water, soft drinks, snacks, the roast of the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so you're asking yourself on this Friday before the Blue White game, what kind of show do you have today? I know Sean's been asking that all day. What kind of show are you going
to
have?
Lots to get to other than the Blue White game. And you got the basketball playoffs are going to start tomorrow. You got the Stanley Cup playoffs. Baseball is now rolling. I'm really tempted to break out Mr. Smooth, Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. A lot going on. Love.
Well, this is what we have on today's show. In the next half hour, we'll have Bob Flounders, PatriotNewsPennLive.com. In the 4 o'clock half hour, Devin Still. He's going to have Leah Strong, the foundation. There's going to be a blue and white reception from 6 to 8 at the Nittany Lion Inn tomorrow night for the Still Strong Foundation, benefiting pediatric cancer patients. Devin Still joins us in the second hour.
Outstanding.
Oh, I'm not done.
I know you're not.
And here in the final half hour, he joined me earlier here in the Sunbury Motors studio, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin. That's today's show.
Other than that, not too much.
Didn't mean to bore the populace.
The funny part with my laundry list, I didn't even bring up the NFL schedules that came out last night.
It did, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I didn't really take a long, hard look at it. I really didn't. So what are a couple of highlights to you? Normally I look at Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and see what's going on there. I guess what, the Steelers are going to play the Eagles in the preseason, then they're going to play in the regular season too, because they got the NFC East this year, right?
That's right. Yep. They have the Eagles and Redskins on the road, Giants and Cowboys. Those games will be played at Heinz Field. But I think if you rack up a list of must-see games, I would probably say the first game right out of the chute will be the first game of the season. There's going to be a Super Bowl rematch between Carolina and Denver. But the burning question is, who's going to be the quarterback for the Broncos? You know, well, other than that,
I don't think they know.
Right.
I don't think they know. So let's just go from there, give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they know.
And you got Steelers-Bengals. That'll be in Pittsburgh week two. And, of course, the big storyline there will be Vontaze Burfict. He'll be in the middle of the four-game suspension, so he will not be playing that game. And they don't play each other again until week 15 in Cincinnati. And chances are they'll probably make that a 4:25 or an 8:30 primetime game.
Right, that could possibly be a flex game. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right. And then NBC and CBS are splitting with the NFL Network, the Thursday schedule this year. I just did not get a chance to look at the schedule much at all. But again, to their credit, they do have the ability to make everything seem incredible with all their timing.
I did notice that some schedules did get leaked out before 8 o'clock last night, so I figured I'd send you the Giants schedule.
Yeah, I did. I got that last night.
But I was thinking, after I sent it to you, and I'm thinking, okay, it got leaked out. I wonder if it's a truly legit schedule, and it turns out it was. I was able to get it from Giants Insider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I got that, made all my plans. I don't think I will ask John Norwig for tickets to the Giants game. I think it would be gauche. To go there and go, hey, I think I'll root for the Giants. I can't do that to John. Wick actually came up here. His daughter's going to school here. So it's cool. It's good. John keeping his ties here to Penn State. Okay. Blue-white game tomorrow. Here's where the autographs will be. Let's get to that first, because a lot of people like to go to the autograph session, but it's really spread out. All right, so you're going to have, in order to maximize your experience, you're going to have to move. Simple as that.
There's one or two guys you're targeting. Just pick that gate, and then the rest is gravy.
Right. Gate A will be the running backs and tight ends. So you want to know where Saquon Barkley is, he's a gate A. So gate A is the running backs and the tight ends. Gate B will be the quarterbacks and the defensive backs. Gate C will be the defensive line and the linebackers. Gate E, the wide receivers and the specialists. And gate F will be the offensive linemen. The game format, regular scoring, no change there. The squad has been split blue and white, and I think they already sent all the breakdowns. The quarterbacks will wear the opposite color of the team that they're facing. The game will have four quarters, each 12 minutes in length. All four quarters will feature a running clock. The clock will stop at each possession change and during a called penalty. There will be a media timeout each quarter to take care of all the Learfield obligations. I'm just kidding on the Learfield part. And that's the first change of possession after the six-minute mark. The final 2 minutes of each half will have normal timing because they want them to get into two-minute drills. So the end of the half and the end of the game will each be timed out 2 minutes, and each team will be awarded three timeouts. There is a 20-minute halftime. All tomorrow at Beaver Stadium. So that's how it's going to play out tomorrow. Okay?
So no pregame kicking competition like there was last year?
No. No pregame kicking competition this time through. You can scratch that off the excitement list. That is gone. Off the list. And he had said that the other day he wasn't going to do that. I think I mentioned it on the show Wednesday. But yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to get Bob Flounder's perspective next half hour, then Devin Still, 4 o'clock half hour, James Franklin, final half hour. Tried to stack the deck for you here today and make it fun all the way through. And we'll get into next week. Hey, how about Vince Velasquez yesterday? How about that? Has he been good in his starts? It's been great.
I know you've been waxing poetic about Aaron Nola, but yeah, we got to get this guy in the conversation too.
Well, I don't know how much more he can do in the two starts he's had.
Yeah, I agree.
He's had great command. And not only that, overpowering. What really struck me yesterday was he was throwing 95 plus in the ninth inning. I mean, that's what struck me, was the way he pitched in the ninth. I mean, the velocity in the ninth inning, just really impressive. you're talking about a 23-year-old guy, 6'3", 205. He's made two starts. He's got 25 strikeouts. My goodness. I mean, what more can you possibly ask of him so far? I mean, 15 innings, 6 hits, 25 strikeouts, 3 walks. That's been it. 6 great innings against the Mets. Gave up 3 hits, struck out 9, walked 3. Complete game against the Padres, struck out 16. Oh, and didn't walk a batter. He's just been really impressive.
So the starters have gone through twice through the rotation so far. 63 innings pitched, 15 earned runs, just 12 walks, yep. 75 strikeouts, an ERA of 2.14, and a whip of 0.81.
Amazing. And then this guy's been tremendous as to what he's done. When you look at 25 strikeouts, 3 walks in 2 games, and yesterday he faced 30 batters. That's it. He has faced 54 batters altogether. Out of the 54 batters, 9 have reached base. 6 hits and 3 walks. That's it. 1 out of every 6 has reached base. It's needless to say, to call what he did yesterday filthy, in the last 15 innings he's pitched, he's just been, the 15 innings have been great. I mean, just been great. This is the return from the Ken Giles deal, already with some great stuff. The key with him has always been control. Always been control. And, you know, you look at it, you know, 58 strikeouts to 21 walks and 55 and two-thirds last year. But the fastball, you know, this guy throws 4 pitches. Great fastball, 95 to 97. Throws a really good slider, curve, changeup. I mean, he's a 4-pitch pitcher. And he's had the control. That's been big, the fact that he's had control. Because in the minor leagues, how electric was this guy? How about 88 and a third innings pitched in the minors and 117 strikeouts? How about that? He just really, I mean, this is one of the guys they got in the Ken Giles trade. And people, well, we don't have a closer. Well, complete game. What's there to close? Vince will close it himself. If you're a Phillies fan, that performance that you listened to yesterday on News Radio 1070 WKOK has to give you hope. Lots of hope. Now, the key is going to be for him. Now let's take the perspective side of it. Just keep in mind this. It is one thing to go through and you see everybody. And what happens is these are all professionals. Professional hitting coaches, professional hitters. They will make adjustments to what you're doing. Those who maintain longevity in the game are the ones that have the ability to adjust back. Right now, he's got the advantage. At some point, they will adjust to him. It'll be how he adjusts back. And you can see a little bit of that the way he's gone through lineups. He's gone through lineups that are trying to adjust to him in games, and he's handled them. Nola, Velasquez. Is that the combo we talk about for years to come as the 1-2 punch? If that holds, that's a pretty doggone 1-2 punch. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Vince Velasquez talk, huh? Boy, the 23-year-old. Dominant in 2 starts. Dominant 2-0. between he and Aaron Nola. Right now, a great 1-2 punch for this young and potentially exciting Phillies future. And, of course, you heard the game yesterday right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Coming up next half hour, Bob Flounders from the Patriot News, PennLive.com. His perspective on Penn State football. Devin Still in the 4 o'clock half hour. And James Franklin final half hour. So there we go. And we'd like to hear from you in the meantime, as always, at 800-795-9565. We are brought to you today by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are closing in, by the way, on the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. It's 2.5 weeks away. 2.5 weeks before we get to that.
Next Friday is the deadline to get your foursome in, so 286-5636. Call the Wine Sunbury.
Ah, good call there, Sean. Good call.
286-5636.
Yep, and let's fill up those afternoon and morning flights. More obviously in the afternoon flight because of the liability of Kevin Schatz. I mean, we're the only group that has to sign a waiver when we go out. What does that mean? Actually, Kevin had to sign the waiver. The rest of us had to witness it. Last year, I didn't want to waste the time, but then I was told I had to witness it, so. Oh, well. We have a great time. Great time. 70 degrees and sunny tomorrow. Wow. With free parking and free admission. Can't wait to see you.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time.
Even at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Want to see you. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the spring cleanup sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC has 95 new Kias all cleanup priced.
Just listen.
A 2015 Rio LX. SMC has 4 cleanup priced at $13,999. 2015 Optima LXs. Cleanup price starting at only $18,999. And there's 3 2016 Sportage LXs.
Starting at just $19,999.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 0% financing available for up to 66 months on these vehicles. And all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. It's spring cleanup. Cleanup sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Tax and tax access, scratch financing to all qualified customers through CAMAT. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. I love barrel pickles. I love dill pickles. And guess what? The pickle bar is second to none. Second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage. All right, let's get to it. Time now for this day in sports history. This is one of the more important days in the history of America, let alone sports, because this is the anniversary of the first game played by Jackie Robinson in the major leagues. You will see every player wear 42 today to honor him. No player is allowed to wear 42 any longer now that Mariano Rivera has retired. But think of America pre-Jackie Robinson. And even though it's taken so much time, think of America post-Jackie Robinson after this first game. For the first time in a major league game, an entire segment of the population had hope. Jackie Robinson was playing in the major leagues. He's playing with the Brooklyn Dodgers. He's playing next to Pee Wee Reese. Suddenly, an entire segment of the population had hope for advancement in life through one guy. Then Larry Doby did the same thing in the American League. Now, was it automatic and fast? No. But Jackie Robinson endured a lot. It's been well chronicled, and hopefully on WVIA, public television, you had a chance to see the Ken Burns two-part special on Jackie Robinson. But it was the first time ever that someone in America, Branch Rickey, was willing to use the entire talent pool to be great. And then someone who understood that people are people. Uh, 1976, Yankee Stadium 2 opened. This is the tragedy, by the way, in 1989 in Sheffield, where 96 people died at Hillsborough during a semifinal soccer match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest. Most of the victims were crushed. Barrier collapsed on an overcrowded pen behind one of the goals. Years later, after deny, they finally admitted that they made mistakes. 2000, Cal Ripken Jr. of the Orioles became the 24th Major League player to reach 3,000 hits, the second player in the history of the American League to have 3,000 hits and 400 home runs. And that is this day in sports history, an absolutely significant one. All right, Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. Still to come, Devin Still next half hour. James Franklin final half hour. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, Penguins not only won the opener, but Sidney Crosby scored. Now, how important was it for him and maybe for the other guys that they just got that out of the way and he scored?
You know, I think there's some importance to that for Sidney. I think there's maybe just as much importance to that for the for his teammates. His teammates have also had to wonder where the goals were and hear the questioning and watch him struggle. And so when he's able to score coming out of the gate like that and, really have a very productive game, as most of his teammates did, at least for the final two periods, the Penguins got outplayed a good bit in the first period. When he's able to do what he did, like you said, get that goal, especially the way it happened on a breakaway. And, if he stopped, King Henrik gets the best of Sidney Crosby once again. If he scores, that script has flipped a little bit. So, actually it wasn't Lundqvist that was in when he scored that goal, but right. Nevertheless, I think it's just as big for Crosby, but maybe just as big, if not bigger, for his teammates to see that happen.
At this moment, it's the battle of the backup goaltenders. So let's start with Marc-Andre Fleury. Does anybody know yet?
he practiced again today, which he did the last couple of days. And that obviously meant nothing, before game one. And I don't know if it means anything now. Obviously, it's better to be practicing than not. But I think the answer, and Mike Sullivan said it pretty well at the end of the game, when he's ready to play, the Penguins apparently will let us know. And they haven't done that yet. So, as far as we know, it's going to be Zadkov. But again, this is hockey and things can change on the, on a dime. Or he could be day to day for the next 3 months, as is the case with hockey. So who knows? But he did practice.
They could not have gotten more out of Zadkov than they did. I thought, considering the circumstances, I don't think they could have gotten more.
No, I agree, and the Rangers came on hot and heavy in the first period. At one point, they led 12-3 in shots, and the first 10 minutes of that game, Jeff Zadkov kept them in the game, and again, it's just one game, but he kept his teammates in the game, allowed them to get their to get their game together. And after they got the lead, the Penguins were able to play the way they wanted to, and they controlled play probably for, you know, for the final two periods, or for at least the better part of those last two periods. So Zadkov, like you said, it was really one of the more memorable backup performances probably in team history. You know, you can go back to, you know, the biggest one is in the first round. Frank Pietrangelo was a third-team goalie, and he beat the Devils in a game that kind of swung that series. And they've had a couple as well, you know, since then. But, yeah, this was a great performance by a guy. I think it's important to note, too, that Zadkov is not some guy that got called up from the ECHL. He was a backup goalie for a full season just 2 years ago, was the main backup for the first half of this year. So he's a legitimate backup NHL goalie, but he's not Matt Murray, and he's certainly not Marc-Andre Fleury. All that said, Steve, I think they need to get Fleury back, or I just don't see a very deep run for this team. And then, you know, that includes this series.
Right. And now let's flip it to the other side. He saw a specialist yesterday in Pittsburgh, Henrik Lundqvist. What have the Rangers said about him, if anything?
Well, you know, they did call up a goalie from their minor league team to serve as the backup. They're saying that they don't think it's too serious right now. They're talking about there being a decent amount of swelling, and obviously the swelling needs to go down before they have a real good idea, you know, what the case is. You have to think that that extra day, certainly it's not going to hurt anybody. It's only going to help the chances of these guys that are injured. You know, again, they're kind of proceeding. You know, they said they weren't ready to say when he'd be back. So, again, I think if you're a betting man, you're probably looking at a couple of backup goalies in game two again as well.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
It is.
This time of the year, and that's what you have. But backup goalies are to be like backup quarterbacks. They are not expected to carry you long term, but they are expected to give you something for a game or two to allow you to hang in there, and that's where each team is right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think both, you know, both teams are waiting for their starting goalie to come back.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a matter of time. It doesn't seem like it's going to be any you know, long period of time. But again, this is a playoff series, and especially for the Rangers, you know, you can't get behind 0-2. I mean, you know, I guess you can because it's happened before, but that's certainly not ideal to put that kind of pressure on yourself. But again, you know, one of the great things about the Stanley Cup playoffs is the ebb and flow from game to game is as dramatic and as sudden probably as any sport you're going to see. I mean, at the end of that Penguins game, you know, all the fans in Pittsburgh are going to tell you with a straight face they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, they can play the exact same game on Saturday. A couple bounces don't go their way. And those same fans are going to tell you, boy, I can't believe they're going to get bounced in the first round again. So, you know, that's just the emotional swing is so heavy from game to game in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
The Rangers outshot them, as you said, Tony, 12-3 early. How important, though, was it psychologically that game on Wednesday night looked like all the other games the last 3 weeks the Penguins have played?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, no question. They didn't allow the Rangers to score, which was huge. That was the one thing the Penguins were doing, you know, poorly the past couple of weeks. They were, you know, not only were they getting outplayed early, but they were giving up goals early. You can't do that in the playoffs. And again, that's where Zadkov came in so strong, you know, by not letting his team, you know, fall behind. So, yeah, you know, they were able to weather the storm. They were able to get their feet under them. And quite frankly, they were probably a little bit lucky. That was the bad eye side, you know, that the Penguins scored on Lundqvist. He sort of maybe let Connor Sheary make a pass from that side that he probably doesn't normally do. And that led to the Penguins' first goal. And, you know, again, he just talked about circumstance. I mean, how a stick found its way through, you know, through those bars of that face mask to hit that eye, who knows. But it did. And next thing you know, he's on the bench, and the Penguins have a 1-0 lead. So, you know, circumstances can dictate a lot, and this was a game where a lot of the circumstances fell the Penguins' way.
One quick Pirates question: what's your read on Gerrit Cole right now?
You know, he played. He pitched a lot better yesterday. So, I think it's a situation where I'm not 100% sure they handled him right in the spring. He did not have a lot of outings against major league pitchers, pitched mainly against minor leaguers in minor league parks, and I just don't know that he was fully ready. I think physically he was probably ready. I just don't know if he was ready to start the season when he did. He's such a bulldog. It wasn't a surprise that he pitched well yesterday. The only thing that was surprising yesterday, and it was about a three-minute, three-throw stretch, that really, you know, cost Cole. He threw to first base to try to pick off a runner that was not being held on, allowed him to get to third base. Yeah, you know, threw to nobody. The next time he threw a ball was ball four, and then the next pitch was a first pitch double that scored both runs. So you don't typically see that kind of lack of focus with Cole, but that's really what it was yesterday. That's not something you see too often either. So at this point, I think both Cole and Liriano are probably fine. I think that's going to dictate what happens with the Pirates. One thing that's interesting with this team is, you know, the power is now gone, and we're seeing a ton of guys left on base. A well-placed home run certainly would have changed a lot of those numbers.
Tony, always a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend.
You do the same, Steve. Thank you.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Devin Still, next half hour. James Franklin, final half hour as we continue. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
It is a story that has captivated the nation. It is the story of Leah Still, the daughter of Devin Still. She was born while he was still playing football here at Penn State. And I remember little Leah when she was a baby, and Leah being at the senior banquet. And Devin Still's story and Leah Still's story has captivated the nation. Devin Still will join us in the next half hour. They have an event coming up here in State College at the Nittany Lion Inn tomorrow evening from 6 to 8. Still strong. He'll talk about that, how well she's doing, and about his football future. Final half hour, James Franklin, all about football future. Blue-white game tomorrow at 2. Looking forward to it. Jack Hamm, Joe Putnam, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman will all be on hand tomorrow at Beaver Stadium for that.
It's like Roger Corey was already in the press box today testing out the gear from what I was looking on Facebook.
Of course he was.
That's right. He's into the details. We love that about Roger.
Sean, the running joke that we have is that the game's at 2. Roger will be there by 4 a.m. Did you think we're leaving? Do you think we're leaving enough time? Yes, Roger, I do. Yes. Now, obviously, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum, which always drives Kevin nuts. What time do you get to the stadium? Now, for noon game in 10:30 airtime. I think people think, you know, I think originally before they started listening to the show, people thought I got to the stadium about 8 o'clock in the morning. No. I usually get there about 9:45, about 45 minutes before airtime. There is one thing I usually have to tape. Now, all this we don't have to do tomorrow. We're just, they started 2, we go at 2. And so there's no pregame show or anything like that.
No wasting time. Just jump right into it tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah, we're just going to go to it and just tell everybody what we're seeing. I mean, I've been, I ended up going to 13 of the practices. And doing a walkthrough today, I can guarantee you, no uncertain terms, I'm not going to the walkthrough.
Now, you had mentioned earlier this week, you and Jack, the word sharp came up. There was what one or two aspects of sharp. What was one of the things that really jumped out that made things look sharp?
Timing, precision, no penalties. Didn't see people jumping off sides, moving too early. Saw cohesion. Saw defense that disguised itself really well. Saw an offense respond to it, protect the quarterbacks, hit some pass plays. 26 can run. That's something that even I as a novice have picked up on. 26 is good. I like 26. For the uninitiated, that's sparkly. I'll tell you, let's talk about a local guy for a moment. Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith is going to play a ton tomorrow. And Brandon Smith, out of Winfield, has had himself an excellent spring. He hasn't missed a down. He's been the number two middle linebacker behind Jason Kabinda. He has performed at a very high level. He also has the distinction of being the only married guy on the team, by the way. But number 47, who was a good, tough, hard-nosed, intelligent football player, has distinguished himself and had himself a good, tough, hard-nosed, intelligent spring. And I've been very impressed. And you will see Brandon Smith play a ton tomorrow. I think he had one big interception that he ran back for a touchdown a couple weeks ago. That was really impressive. He's played the run well. I think he's really improved as a pass in the pass game. The depth of his drops, how he reads it. Brandon Smith's been good. Really, really good. And I give him a lot of credit because he did not get here unless he has a great work ethic. Brandon is a great work ethic. He'll be one of the guys that will stick out in tomorrow's game, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has between 5 and 10 tackles in tomorrow's game from that linebacking spot. Devin Still, next half hour, James Franklin, final half hour.